And talking of great spirits of the past, Nikolai Malko, the Ukrainian-born conductor, is Mark Schwarzentruber's subject as he raids the lost archives. Mark joins me now. Mark, yes. What was special about Nikolai Malko?
What a great discovery for me to get into Malko's performances. We're going to hear Tchaikovsky's 1812 overture with the Philharmonia, recorded in 1947. Malko fell between the cracks, really, because he was most prolific in his recordings just at the end of the 78 era. And that was quickly superseded by LP, by tape. He made mono recordings that were then superseded by stereo. So there's not a lot. He didn't have a big commercial presence.
So he was defeated by the technology, in a sense.
Pretty much. But that doesn't mean that he's not a great person to listen to. I mean, we really have to give him a lot of credit for a type of Russian aesthetic, I think, that he represents.
He lived through a very turbulent era, didn't he? But he went beyond his national boundaries to export his Russian style of conducting.
Yeah, he was born in 1883 in the Ukraine. His father was Ukrainian, his mother was Russian, very musical family. His father encouraged his interest in orchestral music. He became a horn player in the local amateur orchestra and then went on to the St. Petersburg University to study philology and history and languages. And so he's a very bright man. After that, he went on to do music and conducting with people like Rimsky-Korsakov, Glazunov, and Liaudov. Those were his teachers.
What typified his style?
Well, he's not the type of Russian player who lays bare his soul. I mean, his philosophical aim was to not interpose himself between the orchestra and the audience. So he's not there to. I mean, there's a 1930s description of his playing. If I can read that, the little man runs onto the platform, nods rather than bows to the audience, glints a second or two of menace at the players, and then dashes into the music. And at the end, he cuts out all the graces of a conductor's acknowledgement, bows in a comical fashion, makes the orchestra stand up, and then runs off the platform.
So he actually wrote conducting books, didn't he, on how to do it?
Yes, he was a great teacher. He actually started the first ever conducting class in the 1920s in Moscow. And his book is still current. It's in many reprints.
That's a fascinating thought, that conducting hasn't moved on.
Well, I think it's moved on, but I think he represents a kind of... this book is a basic textbook in how to conduct. It's basic skills.
And what does he do with this great classic warhorse of the repertoire?
Well, we've got his beautiful ear for constant polyphony. He's never imposing any kind of extreme. He's got a lucid control over the emotions. And he aims more at the formal balance of the elements in the composition.
Thank you.
Well, you can't beat it. Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture. That was the Philharmonia Orchestra, conducted by Nikolai Malko in 1947. Mark Schwarzentruber, what did you make of that recording?
What clarity. It's balance. It's attention to the polyphony all the time. There's no instrument dominates. It's all there. You can hear everything that's in the music. And it's about elegance, nobility, not just sharpness of attack, but also the sharpness of the endings of the notes he was paying attention to there.
And yet, when you say sharp, there was a gentleness I felt about that recording, somehow a reverence, but not overawed by it.
Yes, and the rhythmic effervescence of it. It just bubbled, didn't it? And yes, you say it's not heavy. It's just, it's not overblown.
No, nothing bombastic about it at all. Did Malko help transform the approach of Western orchestras to the Russian repertoire generally?
Well, I think he represents a particular type of Russian school, which is being a pupil of Rimsky-Korsakov, Glazunov and Liadov. He was very much in the school of sort of telling fairy tales. And I think we got it there, the magic of a fairy tale.
Absolutely. Because he went and worked abroad, didn't he? He went to Denmark.
Yes, he started the Danish Radio Symphony Orchestra and did fantastically well there. I mean, he was very important in that department there.
And then came to England too.
Yes, he actually conducted the Yorkshire Symphony Orchestra for a year until that folded due to financial trouble.